also would like to congratulate all the winners of the Nearing Morne Downs Sports Agreement. It was a fantastic night, and the amount of sporting talent that we have within this district is phenomenal and really should be applauded. And I didn't know who Chris Henry was before the night, but I have to say his speech was actually extremely interesting, and he brought a lot to the evening. Moving on, so obviously at the last committee meeting, we wished our Special Olympians good luck, and by God, they certainly delivered. The Ireland team in total had 86 medals, but locally we had Conor McClory, who got a bronze, Fergal Gregory had one bronze, Megan McLaurin had a gold and a silver, and Petter Connolly, sorry, also got a bronze. I also want to congratulate St Patrick's Grammar and Downpatrick, the Red High, on winning the McLaren Cup. I think it's happened up in Armagh Athletics Grounds there on the Bank Holiday Monday. That's a fantastic achievement for the school. We also like to congratulate Councillor Devlin on the birth of her baby girl, and mother and daughter are doing extremely well. And then the last item is the Albert Basin, which Michael is going to take for us right now.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the last Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group, they had asked that a couple of items be raised at the next AHC meeting. That being the issue of a pop-up park, which they would like to locate in the current Albert Basin site. They would like to use some of the materials, or potentially all of the materials that are lying on the site. This would be a number of bins, sandbags and other items that are lying around the site, seats and so on, to create their pop-up park. And they also wanted you to consider a public consultation around what would be required in the park and proposals as put forward by Newry 2020. Due to the time between the meeting and the date of this meeting, we were unable to look at all of the issues that would need to be looked at in any report brought forward by officers. So, namely, there would be planning issues which we would need to investigate, given the location of the Albert Basin in the Albert Basin site that they would like to put this pop-up park. So there are consultations then through planning with the Environment Agency, and in particular the Historic Division of the Environment Agency. We'd need to look at the contamination and borehole studies and surveys that are going on at the minute and the potential conflict between those. We'd also need to consider the budget associated with that. And indeed, we'd need to consult with other departments within the council, not least of all neighbourhood services. So it's my proposal to try and move these two issues forward over the next couple of months and bring a report back to the very next AHC meeting, if the committee's content with that.
Councillor Ireland.
I imagine I would be content with that, but I'm still a wee bit disappointed because we did seem to, at earlier meetings of the Albert Basin Forum Working Group, we seemed to be pushing ahead and getting things done. And I have thought that, for instance, the contamination report had been dealt with and had been sort of was out of the way, so to speak, but now I hear different from makeup. And I'm just worried then how long will all these things take to be. We're arranging for our photo shoot in the park on Saturday at 10:30 in the morning, and we're putting up a sign saying park coming to you, the residents of Nearing Morne and Down. And it was the hope and wish of the committee that would be quicker and sooner rather than later. So I just hope that these things can be rectified and that we can push on as quickly as we can, especially during the summer months when we can do perhaps even more work at the moment. So just to finish off, Chair, I came a wee bit late for the meeting there, and just, there was apologies from two Newry councillors, Councillors Hart and Councillor Kimmins.
Thank you. Are all members content with the report from the officer in relation to the Albert Basin? Yep.
Yeah, Chairman, in terms of the contamination studies that are going on at the minute, I think it's somewhere in the region of 5 to 6 months, to be honest. That won't affect necessarily this proposal. It's just that we need time to talk to our capital projects team about exactly where those boreholes will be taking place and whether or not they would conflict with the site, which is, what's the site again called? Where the Silvery Light Boat is on the Albert Basin site. So we need to establish that there's no issues immediately around that area. There's also the issue then of access to it while other contamination studies would be going on. Then we need to consult with... So that is one thing, and that doesn't have to take very long. Talking to the planners and the NIEA doesn't have to take that long either. So I would like to think I'll have this all resolved and have a report back to you in June for approval. It'll be going to the SPNR committee, by the way, Chairman. Just
okay. Directly. All right. And we're all content. Okay. All right. Moving on then. Item number 2, decorations of interest.
None.
All right. And item number 3, the action sheet arising from the AHC meeting held on Monday the 18th of February 2019. I go page by page, so page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, any matters arising? Nope. Alright, then... Proposed and seconder for the action sheet.
So proposed.
Proposed, Councillor Andrews, then Councillor Hogg. Alright. Okay, item number 4 then is the DA4's update report, and that's yourself, Janine.
Yes, Chair, members, the monthly DEA report for your information, and we require approval for all of the 7 action sheets attached.
Correct. Thank you, Councillor Walker. And seconded by Councillor Patrick. All right, then item 5, T4 Local Action Plan. That's yourself again, Janine.
Yes, Chair, the report asked members to note, but we are requesting a decision tonight, as usual, on the T4 partnership, the minutes that arrived from the T4 partnership meeting in January. And again, the main issues are to consideration of an extension to the current T4 programme and also a reassurance from SEUPB that funding to projects under T4 and Interreg will still be guaranteed regardless of the withdrawal agreement between the UK and EU.
Okay.
Proposed, Chairman.
And seconded by Councillor Andrews. We're all in agreement. Yeah. All right, then item number 6 is the financial assistance policy, and that's yourself, Janine.
Yes, Chair, members, you are aware of the release of up to £1.6 million through our financial assistance process across the year. This covers revenue and capital, all of which are detailed within the report. Following an audit of the financial assistance process, we are coming with a new draft financial assistance policy, which contains a number of recommendations in several areas for improvement. They're broken down within the report, Chair, but just briefly, we have spoken before the committee about the implementation of an online system, and we will be able to, follow an approval tonight if we receive it, move quickly to procure the system and get it implemented as soon as possible. This new draft financial assistance policy also details changes within the assessment process, and that is we would move to a score and rank system. So those projects that are successful and receive the highest award will be getting full amounts as opposed to a reduction. In relation to the verification of projects, we are proposing through the policy a more simplified process. We're asking our officers to go out on site and look at the projects that we're funding. And we're also asking groups for other pieces of information that will clearly outline whether the event was successful or not. For example, photographs rather than just a receipt that will sit in a filing cabinet. We have other measures around the management of risk, monitor and evaluation, and finally, for the first time, we have an opportunity to introduce sanctions if they're required.
Thank you, Janine. I suppose the procurement and implementation of an online system for that would be greatly welcomed by community groups out there who are having to print pages upon pages of an application form at the moment. And by doing it online and submitting online would certainly save a lot of paper and also save a lot of time, hopefully, as well for them. All right, members, any questions? Nope. Just proposer and seconder. Proposed, Councillor Howell. Second, Councillor Hyland. All right. Thank you. Moving on then, item number 7, financial assistance, call 1.
Yes, Chair, the report detailed the outcome of the financial assistance call 1 in 18-19, and again the themes are included. You'll note that the tourism events report has been tabled at ERT and therefore is not included within this report. We also asked for permission to release call 2, and again the themes are detailed in the report. Key issues arising from call 1 include, as usual, the amount of funding requested was considerably higher in community engagement and major minor events. So it's recommended in the report that we award 50% of the amount requested to each successful applicant, and also that Sport NI, who have provided external funding through financial assistance, that they will employ the score and rank process as they always have done. So, Chair, it is approval to fund the applications as detailed in Call 1 and to go out to financial assistance Call 2, subject to the confirmation of budget.
Councillor Enright.
I'd be concerned that we would hypothecate the areas that had not overspent. So if there were one or two headings where we hadn't overspent, or where the amount of money applied for didn't significantly exceed what was available, because I recall last year when we did this, we were basically, because we had a huge over application for sports, every other area suffered, you know. And contrary to what officers believe, most people are honest and they apply for the amount they need for a project. And they don't double it or treble it away, I think. From what I gather, some officers think they do, you know. So could I just seek a reassurance that we're not going to raid other pots because one particular area was oversubscribed?
Yeah, Janine?
Yes, we are proposing that in the two areas where there is an over-allocation, that we would simply reduce the amount of funding to the groups, so we're not taking money from other things. If that's the simplest way to answer it.
All right. Okay. All right. Proposer and seconder then. Councillor Patrick, Councillor Enright. Everyone's in agreement? Yeah? All right. Then item number 8, Steinfield Community Centre Management Agreement. Janine?
Chair, members are aware we've been working with Steinfield Development Association for quite a number of years now to develop community facilities in the Steinfield area. Steinfield Development Association has now formed a trust, and they're gearing up to take over the management of the centre. We are looking for approval tonight to proceed with the development of a facility management agreement, FMA, and proceed with the formal handover of the facility.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair. And it's just hard to believe that the end game is almost in sight in relation to the Centre Community Centre. I know over my 8 years as a councillor, I've worked closely with the local groups in Stenfield and with the officers and other councillors in ensuring that this pipe dream became a reality. I think over 40, it's been a dream, an ambition for the community in Stenfield to have such a facility it's hard to believe that within the next few weeks that it'll be opening the doors officially for the first time. And as I said, the news will be welcomed. I pay tribute to everybody who's worked hard to make it happen. And as I propose the recommendations in the paper here, that we'll go ahead with the officer's recommendations to make it all go ahead.
Okay. Councillor Robert.
Chair, I would echo them sentiments and second the proposal. I'm in council 14 years and been kicking me around long before that. But I want to pay tribute to our council officers and staff who work tirelessly. At times it was hard. Whenever the councils amalgamated to a super council, it was hard to keep this in the budgets and that. But we managed to do it, so we did. The excellent work of our officers through Michael and that, and the other team officer team, was second to none, because sometimes it was hard work in trying to work with some of the people, because people were getting frustrated at times and that. And I actually was in it today, and I am very, very impressed with what is there and what has been achieved with the money that was there for it and that. So while I'm seconding the proposal, I want to put in record my thanks to the officers for the work that they have carried out in relation to making this a reality.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Walker. Is everyone in agreement? Yes? All right. Thank you. Moving on, item number 9 is the physical activity referral, and that's yourself, Kieran.
Yes, Chair. Thank you. Chair, currently across Northern Ireland, physical activity referral schemes, or otherwise known as GP referral, are delivered across 11 council areas and approximately 45 facilities, each with its own operational and management arrangements. A new regional delivery model is being proposed by the PHA, and we have identified differences in the schemes within the southern area and within the southeastern area in our district. Further details are in section 2.1, but essentially within section 2.2, we've outlined the disparity and the inequity in the funding model that we achieve on both sides of the trust areas. We believe that disparity in funding may therefore prove challenging for us as a district to be able to deliver the aspirations of the new Northern Ireland-wide referral scheme. We have itemised the options for consideration within section 2.3, and we are proposing to for this committee to consider option number 3, which is proceeding with implementing the new regional physical activity referral delivery model, and with the opportunity to submit a proposal to the PHA to look at the funding mechanism. So therefore, which would see council proposing to fund up to £15,000 per year, but it would also see the South and the South Eastern Trust also coming with more funding as well, to ensure there is more of a level playing field with the funding streams on both the southern area and southeastern area.
All right, thank you, Kieran. And I'm sure fellow councillors have had some constituents raising matters about the timeliness of referrals and how it can be made a lot quicker within our leisure facilities. So I think it can only be a positive, and with the support from the trust coming in to financially contribute towards it, will make that referral scheme a lot quicker and easier for those that need the support and understanding. So I myself would like to propose option number 3. Councillor Quinn?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just with the Mourns DA being half and half in the two legacy councils and therefore in two different health trusts, will there be some work done at parity of these programmes rolling out? Because people in the Anlong area hear what's going on and how people are benefiting in Newcastle and vice versa, and they're wondering how things are not the same across our council area. They don't look at it as the fact that it's two different health. So I would like to see some kind of work at when there are good programmes that are running right across the area.
if you want to come in that. This proposal would be then to have one singular delivery model for this district as a whole. So we've already got a scheme running in the Newcastle area that would ensure that for the likes of Kilkeel as well, Newry, Downpatrick, Ballymote and Newcastle will be one singular scheme with the same referral criteria and the opportunity for all the referral sources to feed into that and take place within the Irish centres.
All right, need a seconder? Councillor Quinn. All right, everyone's in agreement? Yeah. Moving on then to item number 10, and it's the autism-friendly sessions in the Downlish Centre, and that's yourself, Kieran.
Thank you, Chair. Since the new Downpatrick Lish Centre has opened, we have received a significant amount of feedback from customers and also community groups regarding to bring forward a proposal to trial an autism-friendly session at Down Leisure Centre. We've been working with the Downpatrick Autism Family Support Group. Further details are in section 2.1, but effectively we have looked at a time, Sundays, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, where we would like to trial a pilot scheme. To do that, we would be proposing then a curtailing public swimming provision at 3:30 on a Sunday to allow us to do 12 Sundays, 12 sessions for autism-friendly initiatives within the pool, the swimming pool, in conjunction with Downpatrick Autism Family Support Group. So we're asking this committee's approval to consider the early closure of Downpatrick Leisure Centre for 12 Sundays between the 7th of April to the 30th of June to carry this pilot scheme.
All right, thank you, Kieran. And I do know I raised this at a previous committee meeting, so it's good to see it coming to fruition. And hopefully the officers will continue to work with the Downpatrick Autism Family Group to ensure that the experience is maximised as much over the 12-week pilot, so the children and the adults with autism are getting the best experience possible. Councillor Howell?
Just to concur what you said there yourself, Gareth, I welcome the proposal, and I suppose children, for somebody that works with children with ASD, children with the diagnosis like that are often unable to avail of opportunities for access to the swimming pool, despite them actually having the greatest need for that sensory opportunity. So I think it's a great idea, and I welcome the proposal. So, yeah.
All right, thank you, Councillor Hayland.
Yeah, I'd like to second that proposal. Only until recently, to be honest, I didn't know much about autism, and then I had a grandson, Daniel, who's 11 years old and who is autistic and attends Rathwarp Special Needs School. And I know in Newry, the help that's been given him in Newry Leisure Centre and in the swimming pool by the council has been second to none, especially by people like Francie Craven in the trampoline lessons and by Kira Lowe in the swimming pool, etc. So any initiatives on, along those lines, I think, are necessary. They're important, and I welcome them, of course. Thank you.
The Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yes, I, again, would like to concur with us. Obviously, this is coming on the back of having Newcastle as one of the first autism-friendly towns, and obviously the closest place that they have then for a really good leisure centre is Downpatrick. I just hope that whenever Newcastle eventually gets their state-of-the-art leisure centre, we will also have these facilities there as well. And I'd like to hope that we will continue with our autism-friendly initiatives in the Newry pool, because I certainly know that the groups there have really availed of the services, and they do enjoy them, just much like many of the shops are, have a quieter time as well. So well done, guys, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Councillor Walker.
Sure, I would also concur with previous speakers. I think this is an excellent initiative, and I think it's maybe 2 years now, and I have to say, when Councillor Fitzpatrick was in the chair, she actually supported our fundraiser for Kappa in Downpatrick, the kids with autism. I've seen it firsthand, the work they do. So I take it that the Downpatrick Autism Group is Kappa you're talking about?
No.
In relation to it? No?
No, Councillor Walker, it's two separate groups, so it is.
Is it? Well, could I make a suggestion that maybe Kappa is involved in this? In relation to, because they've done a lot of good work within the Downpatrick area. They were actually over in the Downshire there, and they were evicted by the South Eastern Trust. So they were at the time, and myself and Councillor Andrews lobbied to try to get them other premises. We met with you, Michael, as director at the time in relation. So I would ask that we include them as well, or we let them know that this is going to be rolled out, because it is an excellent programme, and I think as many as possible should be allowed to enrol in this and take it up. So if you would include them as well, I would be very, very pleased and happy.
Yeah, I would just seek clarity that it is open to all public. It's not just for that one group, it is open to everyone, and the council will advertise that session publicly so that everyone can avail. Michael?
Yeah, I'm just going to say the same thing, Chair. We're quite happy to contact that group directly, and we will be contacting all of the groups in the area anyway, but we'll make sure that that group specifically is targeted.
Councillor McMurray?
Yeah, just again to add voice to supporting such initiatives, I'd like to thank Ohio, didn't specifically work with children with autism explicitly, but certainly a lot of children with autism would visit my centre, and you know, I'm very aware of the special requirements and the way you have to work with them and the sensory overload that they can experience. And again, someone that uses the pool with my family quite regularly, to think that people with autism are precluded from visiting it on account of it. If this can make it easier, just that it'd be great to try and support it as we should. Thank you.
Thanks, Sir Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair, and I would like to take this opportunity to concur with all the previous speakers, and I think it is a good news story, you know, for the district, and it sends out a clear message that we're there for everybody, and as I say, I do welcome it, and I look forward to it commencing very soon. So if anybody hasn't proposed it, I'd like to propose that we go ahead with the recommendations that have been tabled before us this afternoon.
I don't know if you did say propose, kind of.
All right.
Well, yeah, I did hear Councillor Highland say seconder, but we didn't have a proposal. I did check with Sir Bath, did we have a proposal seconder? So.
No problem, but it's a good thing.
So, we have a proposal seconder now.
Perfect.
All right, moving on then.
No,
11.
Not moving on yet. The
Why not, Councillor Quinn?
Well, my light is on.
Oh, sorry. Was yours on before Councillor Andrews?
It could well have been.
Bless your light.
I don't know if it was, Councillor Quinn, but I'll take you in saying that I'm being nice.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I would like to concur with almost everything that was said before. And as it was mentioned, Newcastle is our autism-friendly town. But we do have a swimming pool in that DEA, namely the one in Kilkeel. And I would like to ensure that there is a very active autism group in Kilkeel and that they would be included in this. And that perhaps at some time, looking to run this programme in Kilkeel. It's not right that everything goes to our major centres like Bury and our public. I would like a wee bit of equality.
Makes a change from the Downpatrick ones having to chant and say Newry is everything now. Downpatrick's getting a lot these days, thankfully. but yes, Councillor Quinn, you are right. I think if the programme and pilot is successful in the Downlish Centre, which I would say most guaranteedly will be, that it would be extended into Kilkeel as well, as it is in Newry. That's only if Henry's not there on the day. All right, thank you. Everyone's in agreement, I would assume. All right, moving on then to item 11, and it's the site Pacific membership for Ballymote and Newcastle. Kieran?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, you'll be aware that in recent times this Council has approved a number of various price and membership packages for various sites within indoor leisure, which culminated in the opening of the new Downpatrick Leisure Centre last November. However, some of these decisions may have inadvertently had a detrimental effect on some of our smaller sites, such as Ballymote and Newcastle, in terms of participation levels and also in terms of customers' perception of value for money based on what they get in those centres. for the money based on what they get in the bigger centres. So therefore, with list of the options within section 2.2, officers are suggesting that we trial and proceed with implementing a new revised proposed pricing model for Newcastle only and Ballymote only, which would be a reduction in price in order to attempt to stimulate a bit of extra participation and having wellbeing outcomes within those facilities. And with that as well, is because they're dry only centres that don't have access to swimming pools, within that we'll be proposing that the over 60s within those two facilities can avail of a discounted rate to use the fitness suite during the daytime off peak times. So we're asking this committee to consider option 2 as set out within section 2.2 and implement the proposed pricing models for Newcastle and Ballymote.
All right. Any questions, folks? Proposer and seconder then? Proposed, Councillor Howe. Second, Councillor Loughran. Thank you very much. Everyone's in agreement. Perfect. Moving on then to item 12 is the Household Bolt-On Membership.
Thank you, Chair. Again, linking into our membership packages for customers across the district. Currently, this council only offers the opportunity for customers to join our lounge centres on a singular basis only, and no discount given for any additional customers. This is a growing trend within leisure centres within Northern Ireland. We have carried out research and analysis on what other leisure centres do, and we have depicted that within section 2.2. However, that being said, there appears to be a number of varying models within Northern Ireland and at times ambiguity around the eligibility criteria, and it appears there's not a consensus on an approach that is deemed best practice. Therefore, we are proposing that we trial a household bolt-on membership, an additional £15 per month for Downpatrick, Kilkeel and Newry Leisure Centre, an additional £10 per month to bolt on participants within the same household for Ballymote and Newcastle. And with that as well, for leisure centre customers who have an active membership, we're proposing a discounted rate of £1.50 for 4 to 15-year-olds in a bid to stimulate additional participation on a junior level as well.
All right. Councillor Howe.
I'm happy to propose this recommendation at the same time, okay? I suppose ultimately facilities like this shouldn't be restricted due to cost ever, so I'm happy to see and I mean delighted that you come back for that wee bit of research and stuff, and that cost shouldn't be a barrier for families to access an IT swimming pool and leisure centre in Dunpatrick and across the board.
Right. Councillor Quinn.
I just wanted to start.
Oh, you want to say I'm sorry, thank you. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, I do welcome the efforts that have been made to promote our leisure centres and facilities. But I'd just like to ask the officer in relation to, on a couple of occasions, I've highlighted the carers, people in our community that provide care for relatives and loved ones at home. And as I say, just I know work's ongoing there, but also in relation to I might understand the intricacies of the charging system of what people in the district who are on benefits that would might find things a wee bit difficult. What measures have we got in place for people who are on negative income support or disability, PIPs, whatever you want to call it, whatever. But I say I just would be grateful for an update on what's happening there. Okay.
Yes, Chair. This council does have a policy in relation to concessions for user groups within the district. I can furnish details on the exact ins and outs of that after this committee meeting, but in short, we as a council offer concessions for under 18s, people in full-time education. We have the Less Able Than Buddy scheme, we have the concessions for the over 60s, and also we offer concessions for those that are in receipt of means-tested benefits as well, which some carers may well be able to fall into. Work is ongoing at a cross-departmental level at the minute with our colleagues in tourism and community engagement around conditions of hire, and part of that is also around reviewing the eligibility and concession criteria as well, so we hope to be in a position to bring back a report on all of that later on this year.
Karen, thanks very much. That's very much welcome. So we appreciate your help on that. Thank you.
And Karen, just one quick question from myself. In relation to the corporate membership that some clubs and groups can avail of, that does allow them still to have the bolt-on. So where they get the discounted corporate membership rate, the bolt-on can be added to that as well.
Anybody who's eligible for the corporate membership currently are paying £22.70 a month. These proposals are on the basis that one full adult is paying the top price, and then every bolt-on thereafter is £15 a month. But if you had somebody in that circumstance who's on corporate, they could then downgrade the suppose from £22.70 down to £15, providing the head member was paying the full rate.
That's just in case we went out and told people, so someone needs to be paying £29.95 and then those after get it for £15. Okay, all right, perfect. Everyone's in agreement? Yeah? All right, moving on, folks, then to item number 13, that's the Mary Peters Trust Financial Support, and that's yourself, Connor.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This report is in regard to the Mary Peters Trust seeking financial support for four young athletes within our district to the value of £1,700. Committee, recall that for the previous 2 years, we have given the Mary Peters Trust financial support for £1,000 each year. Report is seeking the committee to offer a donation of £800 in line with our own elite athlete scheme, which offered £200 max per individual. With the understanding that this will be the last year that Council will support the Trust, and will rely on our own financial contribution scheme in the future, in 2020-21 financial year.
Any questions? Councillor Leather? Proposed. Seconder? Councillor McMurray. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. All right. Thank you. Then moving on to item number 14, and it's the Kilty Ban, Amenity Area Tort Facility.
Yes, well said, Chair. This report in regard to previously in September, we had requested the committee to approve the removal of the dangerous toilet block on site and replace it with a new toilet facility. The consultant and the supplier has come up with recommendations to make the internal fabrication fumble proof, which is an additional £10,000 to the overall budget. So this report is seeking committee to approve the budget for £30,000 to provide the immediate area with the toilet facility on site.
All right, folks, any questions? No? May I propose and second, Dirk?
Proposed.
Councillor Andrews, second by E. Councillor Howe. Okay. Thank you. We're all in agreement. Yeah. Moving on then is the item 15, relocation of Newry Mitchells.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This is in regard to the works being carried out by the Newry South Relief Road, the geotechnical investigations taking place on Jerry Brown football pitch in the pitch, which is currently being used by Newry Mitchells under seasonal hire. This report is seeking approval to relocate Newry Mitchells on a temporary basis for one season for 12 months out in Durlacky for the use on the Wednesday, Friday and Sunday, with only one additional individual booking per week on site.
All right. Councillor Hyland?
Yeah, Chair, as a person who had sort of many moons ago intense rivalry with the Newry Mitchells in the colours of Newry Shamrocks, I'd be reticent. No, I won't be.
Can't go against Don Oak.
Yeah, I don't know. Newry Mitchells are a long standing club in Newry, and unfortunately, and I think they are the first to admit, they have been on the wane for a number of years now, and I found it difficult to get even up times, underage teams, and up and running. But they want to continue on, obviously, and continue on the proud tradition that they have. And to have a home based ground is extremely important to any sporting team, Gaelic rugby, soccer, or whatever. And Newry Mitchells, because of the Southern Relief Road, and we know the importance of it, they're unfortunately going to lose possession of this pitch, Jerry Brown pitch. So I would propose that they accept this recommendation made by council officials. But also, in the meantime, could I suggest that we make an all-out effort to seek a pitch for our pitches for Newry Mitchells in the future, because we don't want that team and that club to go out the window. So it's very important that we help them in every way we can. I think it's the least we can do, given their record and their achievements in the past in County Down. Thank you.
All right, Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yes, I'd like to second that proposal as well. Given the fact that, and I'm sure Connor Hockey would know this, that you know, Mitchells have a massive tournament out in Derlecky every year. It's always a massive, massive success. Mitchells is one of the first teams that my own children started playing against when they were six. So it's really great, and I'm delighted that they're coming out there, because it will inspire them to continue, because they have fallen down by their numbers, because it seems that Shamrocks have taken their numbers. But it's really important that these groups, and they have so many clubs come there. I actually saw it in the reporter this week. There was down memory lane of the Mitchells kids themselves actually won their under 10 tournament, which isn't always the case. And in fact, in that year, my own son's team of Maybridge were actually runners up that day. Just pity we didn't beat them. But what can we say? So this can be my winning thing, that they can actually have that, and I'm delighted to second it. And I agree actually with Davey, what he says about finding them somewhere. You know, given that this has been impacted on them greatly, it's important that we look after our teams, because keeping sport and keeping active and healthy. And I see Michael Ipswich just looking to one side going, please don't ask me this question. But Michael, I am charging you with the responsibility, and don't worry, I may not be a councillor after the 2nd of May, but I can tell you now, I will hound you. And it would be important that you would just be better giving it to them than having to listen to me. So I'm just saying. So happy to second that, and look forward to seeing them actually having their own grounds where they can actually host their own tournament rather than taking the council ground. So good luck to them.
Can I just ensure that members do refrain from threatening any council officers? I'm only joking. I was half expecting you to say that they started playing for Newry Mitchells, but when you say they started playing against them and took great pleasure in beating them, I was like, right, that didn't go the way I expected it. Alright, Connor, do you want to come back on any of that at all in reference to help and support the club? I'm sure you do.
Just on what both Councillor Hayden and Councillor Fitzpatrick said, is we are currently working with the Newry Mitchells Club, and this report is seeking where we can accommodate them with immediate effect. We are working with the club to see how we can accommodate them and where we can help them as best as possible.
Wonderful. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. All right, moving on then. Item 16, capital scheme approvals. Connor?
Yes, again, thanks, Chair. This report is seeking committee approval for the list of capital proposed projects for the next financial year. As part of the process, we have to have council approval to allow us to procure and deliver on these projects, which is seeking approval for the list of capital works in Appendix A.
All right, Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And first of all, I welcome the report. In fact, it's good to see a whole list of positive stories covering our district, from Cross Guard to right down Colville and across again Collyhall and all. And I say, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank our officers and all for all the hard work involved in liaison to making sure that these programmes have been delivered under the sports facility and play strategies. So I'd only be too glad to propose that we do approve the list of projects within these strategies, and to make sure that they're tailored and delivered within the time period that's been listed. So thanks again. So I'm happy to propose.
Okay. All right. Same, but Councillor, I suppose, Connor, this is to enable council officers to go out and start consultation as soon as possible and procurement and everything, which, you know, we've done quite a lot already. It'd be great to see these progress even further. All right, everyone's in agreement. Moving on, item number 17 is the Peace Force Share Space Programme.
Yes, again, thanks, Chair. In September 2018, Down Rural Community Network were appointed on behalf of the Council to carry out the Peace Force Imaging and Regeneration Programme. This work entailed them setting up steering groups and identifying various projects. There's 10 projects have been listed on the appendix there, 6 of which are on council loan facilities or council land. This report is seeking council approval to allow the group to carry out these community planned or community works on the council listed sites.
Councillor Andrews?
Just again, as a member of Peace 4, I'm aware of a lot of the hard work that's gone into the various programmes, and as I say, I'd only be too glad to propose the recommendations that are on this paper. So I propose that we go ahead with the
with the recommendations.
Okay, Councillor Howell.
I'm happy to second the proposal, sir.
Perfect. All right. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. Thank you, folks. Moving on then is item number 19. Oh, sorry, 18. Skipping one. Transform and Health Report. Sorry, Connor.
Thank you, Chair. This report is in regard to the Transforming Health proposals, which are identified as part of community plan and our sales and leisure centres. Committee back in January had approved for the joint proposal with the South Eastern Trust and Southern Trust to identify transferring health clients and officers within the district. This has been completed, and we're now identifying the need for two client support officers, one in Newry and one in Downpatrick, with a triangulate budget across the two trusts and our sales. There's a typo there, so it should be 75,000, 25,000 from each stakeholder. Within the budget of this financial year, 14,500 from the council and 10,500 to allow us to go out and drop job description and appoint two officers within our district that will deliver health programmes initially for the first 6 months for those patients and clients diagnosed with diabetes, to carry out activity programmes both in the leisure centre and to monitor their pathway out into outdoor activities or joining sports clubs and reporting back the same within the 6 month and 12 month period.
All right. Thank you. And Connor, I suppose the great thing about this particular proposal is that the two officers are there and they enable for those after 12-week program referrals. You know, a program nearly of 12 months further, you know, at the moment many of them are, they do the 12 weeks, they leave, and then they have nothing else, whereas these officers can support, guide and direct them for 12 months nearly after that off it. And it's good to see that the focus is on diabetes and the issues that are being faced by people in our constituencies and our areas who are suffering from diabetes or are on the borderline that don't need medical attention at the moment. So I'm happy to propose, Councillor Quinn.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to inquire, if these people are selected and put in post, will there be an outreach phase to their work? Because it's not always convenient for people who have illnesses to get to Newry and Downpatrick to gain these referrals and to gather this information.
Councillor, yes, the model that we're recommending here would be similar to the McMillan post, dealing specifically with cancers, and the McMillan one does. This one will be dealing specifically with diabetes, and that these officers will go and be fluid across the department as individual patients are referred, and it's a hand-holding service, as Gareth has referred to, and it's where they will identify the individuals and see how we can accommodate them within programmes in their set rural areas or whatever can be developed for them.
Okay. Need a second there, folks? Councillor Quinn. All right. Everyone's in agreement. Moving on then to item 19, as the phase 2 of Breastfeeding Welcome Here Initiative. And that's yourself, James.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Members will remember last year they approved phase one of this programme. That's where we introduced the scheme into 16 council premises, and this time is into 24 community or council-run community centres. So I am seeking approval from committee to start phase two.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yes, I'd like to propose this. You know, a lot of this have come from Councillor Devlin, who brought a notice motion to the council about breastfeeding, and it's certainly most welcomed. I just wish whenever I had my four that it had been here as well. I might have done it, but it would have been nice to have the situation available to us. So absolutely delighted, and that's just fantastic news. Well done, and congratulations, and hopefully it will encourage more premises that are not council and not of businesses to continue with that. So well done. Happy to propose on behalf of Lord Devlin.
Thank you, Councillor Fitzpatrick. Councillor McMurray?
Happy a second.
Perfect. Just one thing from me, James. It obviously, as Councillor Fitzpatrick did highlight, it is council buildings. I know we can't enforce it on other community centres that aren't necessarily council buildings, but if we could certainly write out to community centres and ask them to promote that they are breastfeeding friendly and that they do welcome it. It's just, you know, encouraging more out there to be accepting of it.
Certainly, Chair. Once we get this phase underway, it's something we will consider seeing where we can widen the scheme.
Okay. You want back, Councillor?
Yeah, just that. Given that there's going to be training for council staff, obviously, that would have to go through this, is there the opportunity that if a business approached you or a group approached you, with, you know, that they could maybe just get on board with the training as well, and would it be offered free to them, just as a query?
Yes, certainly. Our health inequalities worker has been trained up, and so she would be delivering the training to the council staff. And if a business wanted to avail, but I'm sure we could fit them into the same session, wherever. So they did approach us, the health inequalities worker.
Okay, perfect. All right, everyone's in agreement. Perfect. Item number 20 is the new holiday and residential caravan site license conditions, and that's yourself, Sinead.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is in relation to reviewed and updated license conditions for residential and static holiday and touring caravan sites. These have been reviewed in line with Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Services Fire Safety Guide and Risk Assessments. So we have consulted the relevant stakeholders and are now preparing to issue these to all licensed sites in the district subject to approval. So the recommendation is to approve the amended residential and static holiday and touring caravan site license conditions and agree to adopt these from the 1st of April.
Alright. Any questions, members? Proposer and seconder?
Proposed.
Councillor Andrews? Second, Councillor Howard. Perfect. Alright, items 21, 22, 23 and 24 are being done as a collective, and James will provide us a summary of those.
Thank you, Chair. Councillors, tonight I have four papers requiring your decision. All papers are concerned with the new houses and multiple occupation legislation, which is due to come into operation the 1st of April this year. As you have had time, hopefully, to read all four papers and note the recommendations made, I intend to talk briefly on the papers and I'm satisfied I would ask you to approve all recommendations in the papers. The first paper deals with the governance of the new legislation. It outlines how the licensing requirements will work in practice and proposes authorising officers to carry out the necessary work. Also the role of committee and the training of the committee. The second paper deals with three service level agreements which set out the roles and responsibilities. So the first one of those is the legal one. And that sets out time limits, etc., for if legal proceedings and legal services are needed to be used. Also then computers as well as the software system needed for this, and it sets out service times and response times as well, and reports that can be taken from the computers. The third service level agreement deals with the roles of all partners in this. We have 11 councils carrying out this operation, so it sets out the standards expected of all partners. The third paper deals with the standard conditions that will be put on HMO licences, that's the houses in multiple occupation licences, and also a guide to managing antisocial behaviour in houses in multiple occupation. The final paper requiring the decision follows the fees that have been set and fixed family charges. So the fee at the moment is £37 per person in a house in multiple occupation. And then, as you'll see in your documents, the fixed penalty charges are proposed. It's proposed they'll be with run with the maximum fixed penalty charge. So if committee are in agreement, I would like decisions tonight to allow the legislation to come forward on the 1st of April.
Okay. Just a quick question, James. And this is cost neutral to the council, and it's not going to cost us anything, and it's the housing executive for transferring it over to Belfast City Council to enact on.
Yes, the background, first of all, is this is one of these powers that is actually transferring from the housing executive to local councils. It was decided by SOLAS and the Department for Communities and some of the councils that the best model to deliver this would be on a cluster basis. So the housing sector staff are transferring on the 1st of April into Belfast City Council, and they will carry out inspections across the country. So officers that will be employed in Belfast will be carrying out the inspections locally, but they will liaise very carefully with officers within this council as well for information. It is intended that this would be cost neutral. The fees have been calculated to reflect that. There is a review mechanism built in that it would be reviewed, I think, after 2 years to enable an increase in fees if necessary, but the proposal is that it's cost neutral to council.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions, folks? No. Proposed and seconder, please.
So proposed to all papers.
Proposed by Councillor Andrews, seconded by. I just need one seconder. Don't need Councillor Walker. Thank you. All right. I know they've all their own particular items that they all want to talk on. All right, so that's 21, 22, 23, 24, proposed by Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Walker. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. All right, 25 then is the consultation response to the Food Standards Agency on allergies and their strategy. And that's yourself, Sinead.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This agenda item is for the approval of the attached consultation response to be forwarded to the Food Standards Agency on amended legislation in relation to allergen labelling for food that's pre-packed for direct sale to the consumer. So the recommendation is that the committee agree to the attached response in relation to this consultation on amending this information as outlined in policy option 3.
Any questions, members? No. Proposed and seconder, Councillor Harrell. Councillor Henry, I'm not sure. Oh, yes, sorry, you are a member. I was about to say your name. Sorry, it's the notice of motions confused me. Sorry, Councillor Henry, second. All right. Okay, item number 26 then is the notice of motions referred from the council meeting held on the 4th of March 2019. And that's yourself, Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Is there any requirement to read the motion?
That's the same question I asked. There's no requirement, given that you had read it out at the full council.
Dead on. I'm just telling on then. So, it was kind of half expecting, though, that there might have been someone from ERT here. I mean, I think that was what was said at the night. But listen, that's all right. I'll crack on, because I'm conscious some of this might bounce into the ERT committee. But anyway, there are multiple benefits for both the council and individuals regarding cycling, including physical, mental health, environmental, as well as social and economic benefits. While it's understandable that a bike is not practical for every scenario, given the increase of traffic on roads and car parks, by choosing cycling, individuals can help ease the strain on some of our own town and city centres. However, there are some barriers which would prevent people choosing cycling as a viable alternative means of transport or a means of recreation. The aim of this motion is to engender both practical change as well as help the mutual understanding between all road users. I believe that this motion sits alongside and will complement the major cycling greenways between our towns, which the council has committed to. And one of the main issues preventing more people from choosing the bike over the car is the issue of safety. As someone who commutes to work on bicycle along our roads, I share this concern. Drivers will regularly pass unnervingly close between a cyclist and an oncoming car. This leaves the cyclist having to adopt techniques such as occupying the middle of the lane or riding two abreast. This is often is misconstrued by other road users as inconsiderate, despite it being legal, safer and easier for other vehicles to pass. When this is coupled with the fact that it's not entirely legal to cycle on footpaths, it leaves cyclists merely wishing to nip down the town in somewhat of a paradox. Some road users, it would appear sometimes, want cyclists off the roads, those cyclists are not allowed on footpaths. Indeed, they are very often not suitable for cyclists and pedestrian use. Recreationally, cycling is a contributor to a local economy. One only has to walk past some of our cafes and coffee shops to at least see one, if not up to a dozen, bikes propped up outside. Reward and loyalty schemes to encourage and maintain Newry-Moreland Down as a prime destination for cyclists should be investigated, as it has in other places. Pedal for perks, such like, and if practical, encouraged. Initiatives as well to mark out classic sections of rides should be adopted, and needs of social media activity tracking apps are regularly used by those that do cycle. and it could be used to set out our area as a standout destination. And again, the fact that our area is a standout destination hasn't come about as a result overnight. It is as a result of a very competitive local cycling scene. How we as a council help these clubs and participants thrive and grow to be an integral part of our wider cycling strategy. There are some solutions regarding certainly safety, which is where this really, I feel this motion really goes to, such as there's a campaign in the south and across the water called Staying Alive 1.5, and this is to ensure that cyclists are given more room. So, I mean, signage, possibly even on the back of, on the side of some of our council vehicles, you know, we're quite happy to have Legacy Zero plastered on the side of vans, so perhaps having some cycling safety courtesy in the back of vans wouldn't go amiss as well. Also, investigating which free paths are wide enough to accommodate both pedestrians and cyclists can be highlighted for redesignation and act to make our towns and villages more connected by bicycle. Schemes that not only encourage both cyclists racking up the big miles, but those who want to nip down for coffee and a paper to visit local businesses. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Hyland.
Yeah, I'd just like to concur with everything Councillor McMurray has said. As a cyclist myself, and I know he's a cyclist also, it is great to get out and about on a bike. Amazingly, certainly in towns and cities like Newry and Downpatrick, etc., you're probably a lot quicker using the bike than you are using the car, and it's much more friendlier to the environment and to everybody else. My worry is, I see it particularly in Newry, that very, very few children of any age, from primary age up to secondary age, seem to cycle to school anymore. Invariably, they're either getting into school by bus or by car. Very few are walking. I think in this day and age, when the importance of exercise, regular exercise, is so vital for the good of our young people, that more parents maybe need to be aware that cycling and walking to school is far more advantageous for their kids. And then just one minor point, I've just noticed in recent times on cycle lanes in Newry that the markings on the cycle lanes have become redundant. It's almost impossible to discern whether they're cycle lanes or they're not, because in the past there was a clear marking system which pointed them out to both the cyclists and to the walkers that you were on a cycle lane. If that's no longer there, then some walkers will say, well, I didn't know this was a cycling lane, and who was that person rushing by me on a bike? Why did they nearly knock me down? But I think the motion speaks for itself. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hyland. Councillor Quinn?
Yes, Chair. While I would agree with the sentiments of this motion, I think particularly being a rural dweller, road service have a big part to play, particularly for younger cyclists. Our hedgerows need removed back in because there's a lot of stand water on the road, because the verges are not maintained and the slits cut, dug out to allow the water off the road. Some of the cycles they use have very narrow tyres, very little contact with the road. So we want to try and make the road safer. And I think in a lot of cases, it could help to increase the number of people being able to use cycles. So I think we need a massive commitment from road service to do something about these problems.
Councillor Walker.
Chair, I would also agree with the sentiments of the motion. And we are in a big rural area. But can I also suggest that this motion is carried, that we make contact with the organisation called Sustrans. Sustrans is an organisation that would help fund cycling routes, walking routes. I worked with them a number of years ago in Killyleagh, where they put in £350,000 worth of new footways and pathways to enable kids to cycle and walk to school. One example was between St Mary's Primary School and the White School in Killyleagh. It was a muck going from one to the other, and that parents rather than let their kids walk were driving their children to school, in relation to such trans men, put a new roadway in that there, done everything at no cost to the schools or to council or to road service. They had a big pot of money, so they did to deal with this. So I think if this motion is carried, we should maybe be trying to make contact with Stocktrans to see if they still have monies within their budgets, and they could maybe work with us as a local authority in identifying areas and taking it forward.
Alright, okay. Councillor Howe.
Just like to say I'm happy to support the motion as well and agree that it's great for both health and well-being benefits and obviously great for the environment too.
Perfect. Alright. Councillor McMurray, do you have a summary that you want to say? Or?
No, just thank you very much for the support. And again, just to touch on what Councillor Hannan and Councillor Walker to say, you know, one of the main things as well is school children, school children don't travel to school by bike anymore. It's quite a shocking statistic. Also, if there's no children cycling to school, there'll be no bike sheds at schools from which to be teenagers in, you know. So it's, it is very, very important. But yeah, certainly Stocktrans is a major external body that could be really, really helpful with this. But the main one that, Sarah, sorry, is just to make sure that the 1.5, Centrelife 1.5 is the main issue, and also trying to encourage and acknowledge that cyclists have a right and a legal defensive mode to cycle two abreast, because it leads to a lot of misunderstanding to road users when they see cyclists cycling two abreast, that this is somehow ignorant, this is somehow rude, but it's actually a very, it's a means of self-preservation. And how we as a council, we're quite happy to say, have promoted us as an outdoor capital and as a cycling destination. But I think, you know, a bit of a quid pro quo and how we help cyclists feel safe and welcomed in the area is big part too. Thank you, Chair.
I'm just going to bring Michael in response.
All right, thank you, Chair. We're quite happy, given the support for this motion, to bring forward a report to the next committee meeting, which will outline measures that we are taking and measures that we intend to take to promote and assist and advertise and work with groups and clubs and other agencies to promote safer cycling and try and get more people involved in cycling. So quite happy to do that, Chair, and we'll do that for the next committee meeting.
All right. And take it from the speakers, and everyone else is in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay, then moving on to item number 27, it's the newest motion referred from the council meeting held on the 4th of March 2019, and that's yourself, Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson, on the assumption I don't have to read the motion.
No need to read out.
Thank you. Council published policy for I'll just launch directly into it then. Council's published policy for applications to gate lanes to mitigate antisocial behaviour gives responsibility to the PCSD to coordinate the required interagency action. This policy can be found on page 14 of our official policy on rights of way. However, the PCSD has no procedures to implement this policy, no criteria to respond to such requests, and no budgets to implement it. This means there are currently no procedure for residents or police to request lane closures in areas that are not housing executive estates and are being subject to antisocial behaviour. The housing executive has a policy for initiating consultations for gating lanes in their areas that work well. One such example at the moment is Ballymote to protect the pensioners' cottages where they are closing six alleyways. These alleyways have temporary fencing up since one of the cottages were burnt down, and the overall level of antisocial behaviour in the pensioners' cottages is now substantially reduced because the cottages area is now basically two cul-de-sacs and very easy to police. In this example, the housing executive had the support of the fire service, the PSNI, the ambulance service, NI Water, NIE, as well as the residents, and they're waiting for assent from the road service. So the consultation you have to go through all the different agencies. There's no shortcuts here, but basically I think we should be doing the same outside of Housing Executive Property as well and enable the PCSP to do its job. So basically this motion calls for, first of all, the Act of the Healthy Directorate to recognise petitions from 90% of residents in the immediate area or letters from the Housing Executive, the police or the fire service as criteria for triggering a consultation. And that this consultation should be carried out by the PCSP. That the PCSP should produce a written policy that they can inform residents, the police and any other agency what the policy is so they know how to go about doing it. And this motion also calls for the Policy and Resources Committee to provide the PCSP with access to a small annual budget for capital projects to affect this policy and these new procedures. This is a non-contentious motion and should be a great help to councillors and all seven DEAs across the council, particularly in urban areas. The cost of this proposal is minimal, given the fact that these are small capital projects, as the cost of the gates can be spread over 20 or 25 years. So it is a £10,000 project to gate a particular lane. You can reduce it to £500 a year or less if you spread it over the capital period. So basically, in some instances, in housing executive estates where a lane is gated, the emergency services do require a standard format lock in case they need access for policing or fire service or for any other matter. And that's the same sort of lock that's used, for instance, in car parks for the emergency services. So, I commend this motion to you, and I think it's very sensible and non-contentious.
Councillor Walker.
Sure. Thank you very much. And it's not often that I would agree with my council colleague, Councillor Enright, but I would be privileged to second this motion. One of the reasons being is that there is in areas at times antisocial behaviour in that, and what attracts young people sometimes and even older people at times is when you have a rat runner, whatever you want to call it, they congregate there, they annoy people, they cause nuisance in that. And I had worked in a number of them in Killeley over the years, but it was the housing executive that I worked with. They had a policy in place where they'd sent out letters to the people in the area, and if a percentage wanted it, they ended up getting it. They went through the proper procedure. And I have to say that in the Shore Street area and the Sea View area of Killeley, when they were alleviated, it did cure the problem. The problem disappeared from that area. People felt more safe and secure within their areas. But we do need to sit down and look through this and hopefully work not just as a council but with other statutory agencies, because there's areas that maybe would be in the ownership of the Department of Infrastructure. You have the Housing Executive, and then you will have our own in areas. You might even find that at one end of the alley belongs to council and the other end belongs to the Housing Executive. So you would need a joint approach there. And honestly do believe that where there is hot spots and persistent... Now, if you have an incident of that, you can't just come along and say, I want this alleviated. There has to be continuous problems like there was in Killeley, week in, week out, for months, and it was monitored. The Housing Executive then took the decision to go and alleviate it, and it was the best thing ever done. And if you ask them, they would tell you that there, in them particular areas. So I don't have any hesitation in seconding this motion, but we need to go away, bring back a paper that will include, I would say, all the statutory agencies, because I think if we work together as a team in that, I think we could end up costing us even less money when it comes to doing these things. And I do know there is hot spots, and I know why the councillor had originally brought it up. There is a lot of hot spots in and around the Downpatrick area. You know, you've been reading about it in the local press and that there. And to be quite frank, the people that have been hounded in and around these areas, they deserve a bit of peace, so they do. They deserve a bit of quiet in their life. It's not fair and then been hounded week in, week out, and then maybe council holding their hands up and saying, well, we don't have a policy in this, we can't do nothing. So I think a policy would be worthwhile, so it would in relation to this alley getting. So I'd second the motion.
Thanks, Sir Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. While I agree with this motion and theory, we would have to ensure that before we lump this work onto PCSP, that they do have the resources and staff to carry this out. Because I know in a couple of years gone past, PCSP were badly understaffed. So I want to ensure that we aren't given work that they don't have the ability to carry out. Thank you, Chair.
I just a couple of questions. I agree with some previous councillors. There is hot spots within the Downpatrick area, for example, that being the closest to me, that we do have the ability to work with a housing executive, for example, who is a statutory agency who has the powers to put the facility into what technically is their land. But take, for example, if you lived in Malone Heights in Downpatrick, and there's antisocial behaviour between the alleyways of the houses, how can the council impose gates on those if we don't own the land, or an agency doesn't own it, and it is private land? Would a procedure written by the council enable us to have that legislative power to put the gates there? You know, I could use a number of examples of alleyways where it is not council land, it's not housing executive land, it is private land where the issue is occurring. Saul Road, you know, there's an old factory up there. Do we have the powers to put gates on those to stop people going into that? You know, the sentiment of it, I fully agree, and the housing executive do have a policy already to address it where it is their land to do it. But I do think that, as Councillor Walker said, that the council officers go off and put a paper together to see what they can and cannot do and what procedures that they can put in place. I have Councillor Walker want to come back in yet?
Yes, make one point. I'm saying council land. We can't go about it as private land.
Yeah.
We have to make that, and we have to make that clear now that if it's council land and that, but if you've got a private development, so you do, you know, I don't think it's within the gift of council to allocate something in private land. And that, I'm saying if there is areas that is within the council's remit and that, and that's why I'm saying that if this paper is brought forward, we speak to Transport NI, we speak to the housing executive and that, and get their thoughts. They could tell you what their policy is within the housing executive and that.
Yeah.
And that, but we can't just go about nilly-willy, and if somebody's private land and they're wanting to block because somebody's causing hassle on their land, I don't think we as a council can fund that.
And I just state that, Councillor Walker, because it's not clear within the motion itself if it refers to that.
The reason why the housing executive has powers within its own property is because it actually owns the property.
Yeah.
No other agency other than council has the right by law to close rights of way. Now, private lanes owned by any particular private entity are public rights of way. And only the council under the Countryside Order has the power to gate them. I think it's Article 9. Now, the council has it within its remit to close or open. Indeed, it could open any right of way under Article 12. It can declare a right of way under Article 11, and it can close a lane under Article 9. And the only statutory agency in Northern Ireland that has the ability under the law to close a private lane is council under the Countryside Act. It might be useful when doing this work that the legal framework behind my motion is also reflected in it, because it comes, as I say, from the rights of way policy, and the powers of council are in the rights of way policy. The council's legal powers are actually contained within that document. So I'm suggesting that this procedure be written reflecting the powers we have under the Countryside Act and reflecting page 14 of our existing policy, which specifies that private lanes can be closed by council in consultation, I'm suggesting, with the police, the fire service, the residents, etc., the same way that the housing executive does it. So I just happen to know a lot about the law and in this particular area, so I would suggest that since my level of knowledge about what powers of council are in closing or not closing private lanes is not common, it would be no harm to actually capture this as an appendix to this policy in order to explain why it is the council is the only agency which can do this. Thank you.
So just for clarity, Councillor Enright, you are suggesting that private lanes would be included in your motion?
Yes, that
okay. So right, okay. But it does state the council notes, therefore, that there are currently no procedure for residents or police to request lane closures in areas that are now not housing sector estates. So what you're saying is those that are council land or any private laneways would be covered by this?
Anything that's not housing executive land.
Okay.
Okay. We have no role in housing executive. In factual fact, if we wanted to, we could use our powers under the Countryside Act in housing executive land also, and the housing executive have to consult with us on land closures in their own property because of that.
Okay. Michael?
Thank you, Chair. Assuming that the committee are minded to agree with this motion, I would suggest that, as was the previous one, that the officers go away and prepare a report and bring it back to the next committee. The councillor has referred to council's legal powers under the Access to the Countryside legislation. Not 100% sure. I assume you're referring to the power to extinguish rights of way. That's quite a complicated and convoluted process, takes a long time, and requires extensive consultation. But we would need to have a look at that and talk about the legislative powers and bring a paper back to you setting out. I think there was the Councillor Walker had talked about consulting with the other statutory agencies and so on. So we would do all of that and bring it back and set out what the way we think this can be taken forward. Again, the point was made about the PCSP and their capacity to be able to carry out the work on behalf of the council. There's also legislative requirements on the PCSP to carry out the work that it's been set up to do. So we would certainly need to consult with the officers involved in the PCSP. So I would be more than happy to bring a report back to the next committee meeting that sets out how we could potentially take this forward.
Okay.
The committee's happy with that.
All right, folks. Is everyone content? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Moving on then to item 28 and the next couple items to item 36 are for noting, but I will go through them. So item number 28 is Newry Tennis Bubble, and Michael does want to come in on that.
Chairman, unfortunately I get the job of delivering all the bad news this evening. The Newry Tennis Bubble, as you recall, was funded through Sport NI programme. And unfortunately, as has been mentioned at the previous committee meetings, the timeline for being able to spend this money was extremely tight. There were planning issues and it was always very risky. that we'd be able to get it done in time. Unfortunately, we've had to go to the funder and say we can't spend your money this year, but we hope to be able to apply next year to get the money and do this project next year. Same thing applies, unfortunately, to Teed Nadara, Drumcura and Corrie Wood, where we had been successful in getting letters of offer for community trails in those areas. We are unfortunately not going to be able to do those this year either, just because we can't physically get the work done in time for the end of March. Again, we understand from the Department of Communities and from Sport NI that these funding streams will be open again next year, so we intend to apply and hopefully we'll be able to carry out all of these works next year.
Okay, folks, unless any members have any questions, I'm going to go through them. So if you do have any questions, do put your light. Councillor Loughlin.
Thank you, Chair. It's reference to item 31.
God, you haven't even allowed me to get that far.
Oh, sorry. I'll hold on.
Yeah, so I go through item 29 is the angling report. You want an item 29, Councillor Allen?
First of all, thank you very much, Chairperson. In relation to the introduction of the angling participation officer across the council, I must say I'm very disappointed to hear the news that the scheme is no longer cost effective for the council due to, it doesn't say so, outdoor recreation would be responsible for equipment, but I imagine the post we have at Dara and Sports NI have now withdrawn their part funding to outdoor recreation. And then I find like a lot of wrangling clubs in the district, like whenever you look at the Coyle Basin, not too far from here, even in the constituency of Rowell, and you have Crossgar Wrangling Club and you have Kilrenal, and the fact is that with the introduction of this officer into the council, that these angling clubs probably would have had a conduit, you know, to sort of they would have had a hotline with the council, or whatever, and maybe to open up a lot more opportunities for them. You know, angling is a big pastime here, and say with this news it is sad, but I do hope that, you know, that the officers can go away and see if they can seek funding from other funding streams to ensure that we do get an angling officer in this case, because I think it would be a great asset, especially for the angling community in our district, if there was an officer in place. So I just would like to ask if that action be taken into account. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Happy to look at it.
So, just for the microphone, Michael's happy to look at that. Then item number 30, the summer scheme. All I say is it's good to see that the price of summer schemes will be frozen for 2019 and of the same price for 2018. Okay. So that is a good thing. Councillor Andrews, do you want that number?
Just in relation to the cost and the fact that you welcome that they've been frozen for this year, will there be any concessions put in place for families who are on low incomes and on the state of benefits, you know, because I know over the previous few years as a council I've had some concerns raised by constituents who found that because of circumstances that they're in that the costs were a bit prohibitive, so maybe if that could be taken into account too and action, you know, some circumstances taken on board.
Is that you, Ken?
Yes, sir, that could be looked at. I think that the pricing mechanism for the summer schemes allows for a discount for every additional child out of the same family that is added under the scheme. I'm not aware that we offer any exact specific discounts or concessions, but that's something we can look at.
Thank you very much. You're very welcome.
Item 31, flooding at the Jim Steen Park. Councillor Loughran.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, it just was referenced to the response from the Rivers Agency, who suggests that it is possible to complete a drainage application form. But however, this must come from the landowners adjacent to the council owned land at Jim Steen Park. Will it be the River Agency that's contacting the landowners, or will it be our council officials?
Connor.
Thank you, Chair. This report was on the back of council requesting that we contact the Rivers Agency directly, seeking was there an alternative way or method of draining the water from the higher end of the Dock Road down into the river outlet at Jim Steen and coming across the private land. We contacted, as the report says, the Rivers Agency, and they said it is possible, but it's up to the private landowner to come up with a method on how they propose to take an alternative flooding mechanism off their land rather than through the middle of the field of it. So it's suggesting the order that was passed to the private landowner to clear the shock that comes in under Jim Steen itself still stands. It's up to that private landowner if he doesn't want to clear the shock but come up with a different method. And this is the method he has is under the Schedule 6 model. So it would be between the private landowner and Rivers Agency Direct themselves and us.
But the landowner has already been contacted and he is aware that it is on his land that this blockage is occurring.
Yes, Chair, Councillor, that was in the previous report in December. The private landowner has been made aware to clear it. Council, the second report on the outside of Jim Steen is shared land by Council and House Executive, and that work has been carried out by both stakeholders, so it's still the land to clear it is on the private land.
And how long do we have to wait until we see if this landowner is going to carry out the work or not?
Again, that's between the Rivers Agency and the landowner, Councillor. It's something they've imposed a written order asking to carry the work, so it's between both parties, not Council.
So we can't go ahead with the play park then until this is sorted out?
No, sorry, Chair. This is an issue of that was raised regarding to the flooding at the entrance. The works has been carried out and there's no more flooding at the entrance and we're still waiting on planning to be approval to carry out the work and build the play park. This was a secondary request from Council in regard to concerns that the private landowner, what would happen if the private landowner didn't clear their section of flooding and would there be an alternative solution. So this is just report updating on that. So
okay.
The work is still go ahead if planning's approved.
Thanks, Hannah.
Councillor Howe.
I just want to highlight that Councillor Val Murray has gone on record several times stating concerns of the community. The children's safety due to the position of the park, along with concerns regarding the river and the flooding. This has led Barr to request a public meeting to ease the tensions between different groups. And he has informed me that to date no one has come forward to represent those wishing for the park in Jim Steen Park. No one has come forward as yet.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Howe. All right, moving on then, item. Oh, sorry, Councillor Fitzgerald.
Okay. Do you know how...
I don't know. You go tell me.
Okay. Yeah, rather than me ringing the Rivers Agency in the morning, can you tell me how often that location has actually flooded in that particular area? And when was the last time and for how long for that it was flooded? And all the extent that, you know... I can go to Rivers Agency myself, but it's just on public record to request it. Has there been a track record of it? Because as far as I'm aware, it wouldn't be. So, okay, thanks.
Okay. I don't know. The officers don't have that information to hand, but certainly if you do contact Rivers Agency, they may have that information to provide. Yeah. 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 Okay. All right. Moving on. Item 32. Downpatrick Neighbourhood Renewal Partnership Report. Item 33 is the Newry Neighbourhood Renewal Programme Report. And item 34 is the Newry Neighbourhood Renewal Programme Application for Funding for 2 DFC for 2 External Storage Units. Item 35 is Transfer of Houses and Multiple Applications of Understanding Public Health Checks and Community Facilities. Item number 36. Folks, we need to go into committee as the following items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Is that right? And they are proposing proposed Councillor Howe, second by Councillor Andrews, to go into committee. Thank you very much, folks. The record, while in truth session, the following was agreed. Item 37, lease agreement with Castlevale Community Partnership. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howe, seconded by Councillor McMurray, to approve the Council officers investigating all possibilities which will satisfy the funding body's requirements and the needs of Castlevale Community Partnership, Council officers to draft necessary documentation and business case as required in order to issue the lease which will cover the community centre, 3G pitch and mobile units. And then item 38, Ballyholland Community Centre. it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Fitzpatrick, seconded by Councillor Loughran, that the Council procure a suitably qualified contractor to carry out the remedial works required for the simplification of the pellet feed system at a cost outlined in paragraph 3.1 of the officer's report. This is subject to Ballyhooland Development Association satisfying Council that all conditions of the letter of offers relevant to the development of the initial scheme are being met. I hope we press play because I'm not reading that out again. Folks, thank you very much. I did state that it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Fitzpatrick, properly, Councillor. folks, we're going to miss that, Cillian, so we are in the new council, in the new council era. Folks, that's our last AEC committee meeting of this term. Thank you very much for all that you have done this year for me, making it as quick and easy, and I think this is the longest meeting that we have had. So I do apologise for that, but thank you very much, and very good night. See you all later.